All right, if you wish to follow along, turn to the Song of Solomon again, chapter 1. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Now, before I read any text, remember the literary backdrop. It is of Solomon and a Shulamite. Now, to show you why that is not the main thrust of the Song of Solomon, if you read some commentaries, they say there's actually three players involved here. And that is the Shulamite, her lover, and then Solomon. And Solomon's trying to horn in. Now, read Song of Solomon in that light, you'll be so confused you won't know whether you're coming or going.
There you go.
The Song of Solomon is set to the literary backdrop of Solomon and a Shulamite. But this book is about Christ and His church.
Amen.
And if you will concentrate on this book that way, you'll get something out of it.
Yes, sir.
But if you try to see Solomon and some Shulamite,
yeah,
you'll get very little.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, you'll be confounded about your own relationship with your spouse.
Yeah.
Because you'll find out my relationship with my spouse ain't like this.
Yeah.
A lot of the myrrh's gone. The spices have lost their strong smell.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that about a certain individual here in his relationship, but be that as it may. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This book is about Christ and His church, and approach it that way, and God will give you some stuff from that.
Yes, sir.
But briefly review three things here, what we've seen. The church loves Christ's perfections. If you don't love His perfections, you're not a part of the church.
That's right.
At least as a converted individual.
Yeah, there you go.
The church loves Christ's perfections because Christ is worthy of love.
Yes,
Christ deserves love. Christ is due love. And if you don't see those things, you don't know Christ.
There you go.
You just don't know Christ yet.
Yeah.
Number two, Christ sovereignly draws His foreordained church. We looked at that in The Little Sister. And I will point this out. Always remember, all of us, each one of us, at one time, individually, we were the little sister.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Unable to embrace Christ.
Exactly.
Oh, but there's a day that we were spoken for.
Yeah.
Number three, here's the third thing we looked at. Christ, we looked at this. We see the way the church sees Christ. They see Him as He is.
Yes.
A lot of religions see Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But they do not see Jesus Christ as He is. The church sees Christ as He is. But, I'll join them both together, Joe. Christ sees us as He has made us to be by His grace.
Amen.
Christ sees us a whole lot differently than how we see ourselves.
You're right.
He remembereth our frame.
Yes, sir.
He knows that we're dust.
Yeah.
It's not that He's ignorant of that. But you know what? He hath not dealt with us according to our iniquities.
Amen. That's it.
No. God the Father dealt with Christ according to our iniquities.
Exactly. Yes.
If God dealt with me according to my iniquities, I'd be in hell right now today.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's right.
Now, let's look at our present text. Look at it. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Now, before I read it, let me just give you this. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, my text is chapter 1, verse 7 and verse 8. But before I read it, let me give this backdrop to it. In our present text for this morning, Christ instructs the called concerning the sweet vitality of the gospel message. And I chose those words particularly. The sweet vitality. And it's sweet because He uses the expression of these great spices and smells, Joe.
Yeah.
Frankincense, pomegranates,
mm-hmm,
all of this stuff. The sweet vitality of the gospel message. Vitality means what? Life. Being.
Yes,
ability. What we're going to see here is the sweet vitality of the gospel ministry. And Christ is instructing the church concerning that.
Oh, yeah.
Look at what He says here. Verse 8, this is literally speaking, this is Solomon talking to the Shulamite. But we know what it is, it's really Christ talking to us, the church.
Right.
If thou, verse 7. Tell me, O thou whom my soul lovest, where thou feedest. This is the Shulamite speaking to Solomon.
Yeah.
Literally speaking. Now, what it's talking about is the church calling upon Christ. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. Where do you feed? Where do you feed? Where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? And then now Christ speaks. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women. That's actually what I preached last week. That's how Christ sees me. That's amazing to me.
Yes, sir.
That's amazing to me. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. Yes. I'm not going to say this a whole lot later, but let me tell you. If you're one of the sheep, what do sheep do?
Yeah.
They flock together. Now, granted, there are lost sheep, but once the shepherd finds them, he brings them all the way home. And Joe, if he's got me laid on his shoulders, bringing me all the way home, and he does that for every sheep, then where are all the sheep?
That's right.
They're on his shoulders.
Amen.
And what's that mean?
Yep.
They're together.
That's right.
He don't have 15, 20 shoulders.
Exactly.
You're not a sheep. If you're out there by yourself, you're still at best a lost sheep.
Exactly.
Now, do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because what I'm telling you is what this book teaches. Joe, you're right. I have no authority. But this book has all authority.
Yeah,
and I'm responsible to preach this book, even if I know some people might get upset with me.
Exactly.
And even if I know I might have to point the finger at myself.
Yeah.
Let's call things what they are and not play games with God and our eternal souls.
Exactly.
Because how you and I feel emotionally when it comes to certain things doesn't matter. What matters is the honor of God in Christ. And if Christ is dishonored, you'll perish. And I'll perish. He's dishonored.
Oh, yeah.
Joe, if my life dishonors Christ, I'll perish.
Exactly.
Because He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, is He right or are we right?
There you go. He's right.
He works in His people both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Where does He say to feed at? By the footsteps of the flock. You want to find out where the shepherd feeds at? Go by the footsteps of the flock.
There you go.
Get with the people of God.
Amen.
That's what he's talking about. Yeah. Go where the gospel's being preached. That's what Christ is talking about.
Sure.
Because the gospel is what? The gospel is sheep food.
Exactly. Yeah.
The gospel sheep food.
That's right.
And if you don't like the gospel, you can't claim to be one of the sheep.
Amen.
There you go. Right. At best, again, you may be a lost sheep, but you may not even be that. You don't know you're a sheep till God gives you a taste for sheep food. And the gospel is sheep food. And the sheep food's where the sheep's at.
That's right.
That's where it's at.
Yes, sir.
If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside thee. What? Shepherds, plural. The shepherd's tents. God's ordained a certain way in this world.
Yes, sir.
We have no right to seek any other way.
That's true.
If we find ourselves in another way, doesn't necessarily mean we're lost, but I'll tell you one thing it means, we're in sin.
There you go.
We're walking in sin. We are doing wrong. We are not honoring God. And let us just call it what it is and quit playing games. I don't want to hurt that person's feelings. I don't want to run them off. They're not here to start with.
There you go. That's it.
You got somebody that won't even gather together and we're afraid to tell them the truth about themselves because we're afraid we might run them off. You don't think of that mentality? They're already gone.
There you go.
They don't want to be here to start with. I told one individual, I finally said to this person, and it was a female, I said, "You're lost." That person ain't never talked to me since. And Mason, I wasn't trying to be mean. God's never saved one person till they're first lost.
Exactly.
God's never clothed one person with righteousness till they find themselves naked and without righteousness before
right.
God.
Yes, sir.
God's never fed one person until He first makes them hungry.
That's right.
Amen. That's right.
Until a person can come, is even brought, draw me, will run after you till a person is drawn. Drawn what? First drawn down to the ground.
Yeah.
before God Almighty. I might not even get to my notes this morning. Unless God Almighty bows you down first and you see your nakedness before Him, He will never clothe you in the righteousness of Christ. Oh, God, help us to be honest with men and women's souls, because we're converted by the truth, not by love. We're converted by the truth, and the truth hurts. You know, the truth shall set you free. That's what our Lord said. But you know what? If a person's in bondage, whatever is setting free, and we know He said it's the truth, there usually has to be a battle ensue to set somebody free. Now, don't it? A battle ensues. Right here in these two little verses, God Almighty manifest in the flesh. The Good Shepherd Himself, Joe, tells us where and with whom to find the sweet vitality of the gospel message.
Yes, sir.
Tells us where to go and with whom to be.
That's right.
Now, does it not?
Yeah.
Look at it. Here's what it says. Where? What did Paul say to Timothy? And I want to read it. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And it's very familiar. I'm preaching nothing new. There's just sometimes these things just hit home again.
Oh, yeah.
Listen. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Paul said, I'm going to write something to you right ahead of me. I want you to be ready when I get there.
Yeah.
You know what he's saying? Now look what he says. But if I tarry long, because he didn't know for sure when he might get there. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. What's he talking about? You could wax on with all these theological terms, phrases, try to define all the words. What's he talking about? When God's people gather together.
That's right.
Isn't that what he's talking about? It doesn't matter whether it's a remodeled house, whether it's a fine brick building, or whether it's a cave. But it's wherever God's people are met together. That's God's house that Paul's talking about here.
Yeah.
But then look at this staggering, amazing statement. That thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church. So now, there's no doubt about that.
There you go.
Right? Which is the church. Look. Of the living God.
Amen.
The pillar and ground of the truth. Somebody said, well, I'm going to get my truth out of the Bible. Now think about it. Hold on just a minute. Think about it. Truth must come from this book.
Yes, sir.
But this book is in almost every motel and hotel in the United States of America. But you're not finding revivals happening at the hotels and the motels of America.
You're right.
Where are men and women told of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ amongst God's people when they gather together to glorify God in the person of His Son?
Amen.
Now, I'm not discounting the fact that God cannot use an individual believer, Mason, who's not even a pastor. I'm not discounting the fact that God can't use that as you testify to someone or you preach to someone.
Yeah.
Not as a pastor, but just preach to someone your experience of grace by Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
God used, but that's still preaching.
Yes, it is.
That's still a part of the church declaring the glory of God.
That's right.
And if you really believe that, if that's really happened to you, and you're telling somebody else about that, then you're going to want to be where other people that are like that also. Well, what are you telling that person for?
Exactly.
You see, the pillar and ground of the truth is the church.
Amen.
That's where it's vouchsafed.
Yeah, exactly.
People have been doing what we've been doing now. In the new covenant manner.
Yeah.
I'm talking about in the new covenant manner for 2,000 years.
That's right.
And they've tried to stop us with threat, and they have killed many of us with the sword.
Yes, sir.
But Mason, here we still stand.
Amen. That's right. That's it.
Here we still gather together, little groups here and there all over this world. Mm-hmm. And they will not stop us.
Amen.
They may stop me. They may stop you. They may stop this little group. But somewhere, God's going to have His witness. And it ain't going to be you sitting on your couch at home watching the TV.
That's right. That's true.
It ain't going to happen that way. A big revival is not going to happen while you sitting down watching Jeopardy.
Exactly.
It just ain't the way it happens.
That's true.
Oh, this is where the sweet vitality of the gospel ministry is found, where the gospel ministry is centralized, where God's people gather together.
Exactly.
And I've been hammering on this and hammering on this and hammering on this for the past 4 or 5 years. You know why? Because God Almighty, by His sweet grace, Ellen, revived that in me a few years ago. Revived that in me when it was so dead and cold and lifeless. Oh, I'd have stand at chapel and preach. I thought that ain't the way it works, folks. Oh, as long as our group survives, it ain't about our group. It's about God's church.
Amen. That's right.
There's not a local assembly that exists today that existed probably 500 years ago. Probably less than that. You know what I'm saying? But there's always still been local assemblies.
Yes, sir.
And Mason, that's where the truth is vouchsafed.
Yeah.
It's the pillar and ground of the truth. And then what did Paul say? Here's the with whom. How shall they preach? You know this. There's no need for me to go into great statements about it. Well, God would just let us open our hearts and our minds, our eyes and our ears to His Word that's already been written down. How shall they preach except what? They be sent.
Amen.
So God sent some people to preach the gospel, has He not?
Yes, sir.
What ought we to do? Get where they are.
There you go.
Get where they are.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't have a place around me. Find you a job somewhere else.
Yeah.
Find out where there's a gospel church at and move yourself to it.
Amen.
Well, that's your opinion. Go ahead and follow the other way. You'll be the loser.
Yeah. You're right.
You'll be the loser.
Yeah.
I mean, you can sit and you can eat out of the garbage can all you want. God may sustain you.
There you go.
But it ain't nothing like Mason sitting down at the banquet table with the people of God.
Amen.
It just ain't the same, Joe.
You're right.
It ain't the same. Let me tell you something. We live in a world, and I know I'm stuck by it. I'm not going to reach in my pocket because I don't want to turn something on or off. I got a little gadget in my pocket, and I do more of this now than I do more of this.
Yeah.
You ever found yourself doing that? Texting somebody that you really care about and love rather than just picking the blessed thing up and calling them.
You're right.
God help us. Right?
Yeah.
God help us. Let me tell you something. All the CDs, ain't they marvelous?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine how those folks, what they really thought when it began to spread, when they first came up with the first printing press, and they could start printing this book out in bulk.
Yes, sir.
At least bulk for their day. It's everywhere now, Mason. And then they could print up messages. Men were preaching for 2,000 years now, under the new covenant since. But all you could go is by hearsay of what somebody else said, he said, right? Or somebody manually wrote down a few words. Now you got printed messages, tape, CDs floating around everywhere. But let me tell you something. I had Penny write this down for me on the way up here. CDs, gospel messages on CD and paper and all that is a good supplement. But it is not a substitute for gathering with God's people to worship God and hear the gospel preached.
Amen.
You cannot live on vitamins.
There you go.
Can you? Now they're good for you. Probably good. Probably ought to take them. But they are called what? A supplement.
Exactly.
You ain't going to live on the bite. You need to eat you some green beans. Good old steak. I'll cut the fat off if you want, but I'm going to leave it on mine for now. And some potatoes. And take your vitamins, but they're a supplement. They're not the real thing. God ordained us to eat that food to keep our bodies going. Not take the vitamins. You get your vitamins from the food.
If
you're not getting enough vitamins from the food, then take your supplement. But don't try to live on CDs.
There you go.
You'll be the loser. That's best. I'm not saying to condemn somebody. I'm saying you're going to be a loser. God's ordained this. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers.
Yep.
And they're set up to guide and lead the church. And as Henry Mahan said years ago, no man is his own pastor.
Exactly.
No man is his own teacher. No man is his own leader. It's the first step. And there's all, every 1,000 mile journey always begins with one step. And the first step to apostasy is this, to abandon the local assembly.
You're right.
That's the first step. Now, you may abandon it and not apostate.
Yes.
Apostatize.
Yeah.
But you ain't going to know that unless God Almighty sustains you in your ignorance and your rebellion.
You're right.
But let me tell you, I'm trying to warn all of us. Now, don't take the first step. Mason, if you don't take the first step, you ain't going to worry. Have to worry about the other 999,000 what it miles.
That's exactly right.
Don't take the first step. You'll be okay.
There you go.
Leave the assembly and you head yourself in a dangerous path.
Exactly. You're right.
Somebody says, prove that to me. No.
Yeah.
God will prove that to you.
Yes, sir.
God will prove that to you. I don't have to prove this. My job's not a prover.
Nope.
My calling, my being sent wasn't to prove, is to preach.
There you go.
Just to proclaim. He says, forsake not the assembling yourselves together. Why? Because God just means and wants me to have to take a couple days or a couple hours out of my day on Sunday to come up here. Is that what it's all about? God just wants, you're going to have to give up a couple hours for me. No, because God knows this is for our benefit.
Yes, sir.
This is where we gather around not just a little bitty coffee table. This is a banquet table.
Yes, sir.
Because it's not about how many of us we have here. It's about what's being declared from this podium.
Amen.
Most places, folks don't hit this. They get lies.
Exactly.
They get emotional sermons meant to build men up. We're standing here, Joe and I are, trying to tear you down.
There you go.
In hopes that just maybe.
Yeah.
And I know that's not even worded the best way, but in hopes that just maybe, God then will build you up.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying? God's got to be the one that truly tears you down.
Amen.
I'm not here to get that message by Paul Mahan, I'm telling you. Oh, it just brings you into the dust. But he exalted Christ.
Yes, sir.
I wish I could have just had that read out. I would have just read that to you all this morning. You see, the gospel ministry is the message of Christ's glory. Look at chapter 3. Look at this. Look at chapter 3, verse 6. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? Think of that amazing statement.
Yeah.
Here's this glorious person you're going to get described. Where is he coming from? Out of the wilderness.
That's right.
Is that significant to us?
Oh, yeah,
because we were conceived and born in the wilderness.
Yeah. Huh.
He was up there, if I could say it that way at one time, Mason, and he came down here. To this wilderness.
Yeah. Yes,
do you see it? See that?
Yeah.
He was this that cometh out of, and you go, remember, go on over, who is this coming up out of the wilderness leaning on her beloved?
Amen.
That means he went down there to get her. Wasn't
that's
it?
Right.
And she's just leaning on him all the way out of the wilderness. Still in the wilderness right now, but she's a leaning on him. But look, who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke? Now, we could go through all kinds of things, but there are a few things in Scripture. I'm not going to be able to express all of these phrases to you. I don't have the capacity. Mason, I haven't understood all of it yet. But I know that. What was smoke? Think of it. You remember Isaiah when he's in the temple?
Yep.
And God Almighty was there, Mason? Guess what? Smoke.
Yeah.
Smoke filled. We're talking about the glory of God. But He's so glorious, He has to be hidden from us.
Yeah,
we cannot view that straight on and live.
Yeah. That's right.
That's why that smoke was there. It's not to obscure. We're already obscured.
There you go.
I'm obscured by nature. These eyes, this heart, these ears, they're deaf. These eyes are obscured. This heart is darkened by nature. God doesn't have to obscure Himself from me.
No.
The problem is, though, He is so glorious, I cannot view Him.
That's right.
Without there being something, Mason, to hide. Some part of that glory in some way. I can't handle it.
You're right.
What does the book say? No man's ever looked on God and what? Lived. And yet we're preaching a message, look to God and live. Now you think about that contrast. Huh?
You're right.
So that lets me know, how do I have to look then? By faith.
Amen.
Because I can't see Him with these.
Exactly.
Who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke? Perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the powders of the merchant. That's the gospel, folks. If it don't smell good to you, you ain't never really smelled it.
There you go. That's right.
You ain't never really smelled it.
Yep.
Behold his bed. What's a bed? It's a place of rest. Right?
Yes.
A place of rest. Christ said, come to me, I'll give you what? Your labor? Your heavy laden? Come to me. I'll give you what? Rest. But what else takes place in the bed? And I don't mean to be too forward here. But you know what else takes place in the bed, don't you? Union.
There you go.
Hmm?
Yes, sir.
Man and woman come together in marriage. And the Bible, so much so, that this Bible says, marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled.
That's what it said. Amen.
It's union.
Yes.
Union with Christ. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 60 valiant men are about it. I tried to look up 60, Mason. Nobody knows much about any kind of symbolism concerning 60. But the whole point is this. Get the literary backdrop. Here's Solomon, just one man, and he's got this glorious bed. But what? He's got 60 men around him protecting him. 60 men around him that everything that they're working for is for what? His glory. You see, that's the picture you're getting here. But look at it. Look at these men. 60 valiant men are about it. Of the valiant of Israel. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace.
Amen.
That's a metaphor.
Yes, sir.
That's a metaphor. It ain't talking about these things on the bottom of my legs. But they're sent. So what happens when they're sent? They go. They go. And how beautiful is that going? But look, they all hold what? Swords. Being expert in war. How can I be an expert in war, Joe? All I got to do, all I have to do is get up and declare this book.
There you go.
And Mac, you declare this book, you're an expert in war.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't have to define it. A lot of us preachers are so busy trying to define it rather than just declaring it.
There you go.
Proclaiming it. Yeah. Preaching it.
Yep.
We actually think you all are a little dumber than we are. Since I'm sent, I must be pretty smart. No. God sent a deacon one time to preach the gospel, did he not?
Yeah.
He sent that one woman out of the temple when she held that little baby in her arms, right? And he sent that woman out. She went out praising and glorifying God publicly.
Yes, did
she not?
Yes, she did.
Mm. He had a husband and a wife straighten old Apollos out.
Yes, sir.
Did he not?
Yeah.
Yeah, Priscilla and Aquila.
Yeah, that's right.
Led him in the way of the Lord more perfectly.
There you go.
Mm. Expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. What's the one thing that'll protect your mind, your heart, your soul? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you ain't going to know Christ apart from his gospel.
Exactly.
Don't think you can stay at home and you're going to learn about Christ.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
It ain't going to happen. God don't let that happen.
Yeah.
God don't let that happen.
You're right.
Now I know, automatically somebody wants to come up with some exception. They're not exceptions. They're a part of the rule.
Exactly, yeah.
But when you got a place that you can attend, you know somebody that's got a place they can attend, you better start encouraging them. You better get there.
Yes, sir.
You better start being there. You better start being a part of it. Because if you play games with God in that, you're taking your soul in your own hand.
Amen.
It's one thing to be in a place that you've got nothing, and all you've got's a CD.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, we got more than CDs. You can pick up, most of us have a phone, some of us, a lot of us, probably most of us, have a phone that we can sit there face to face and talk to somebody. My wife can sit and talk to her daughter face to face.
Yeah.
Can it not?
True. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. No? We're so lazy.
Yeah. You're right.
Just give me a CD and I'll play it on my way to work.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Oh, yeah.
That's called laziness. Mm-hmm. That's what that is. Get up off your backside and make an effort to go be with God's people if you really love Him like you say you do. And I've used this illustration and some people still don't get it. If I conducted myself toward my wife like some people who claim to be believers conduct themselves toward the public assembly of God's saints, my wife and I would not last a month. Because I tell her I love her and I don't want to be around her, she's going to call me a liar eventually, Joe. You know why? Because I would be a liar. And don't tell me you love God's people, but you don't want to be around them. You're a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And let's call it what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rather than easing them onto their way to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm? Paul said, I shun not to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. That means rebuking when necessary.
Yes, sir.
That means warning when necessary. Does it not?
Yes,
that means admonishing when necessary. And like Earl said, he used to say, I wish I could pull the top of your head back and pour the truth in, but I just can't do it. All I can keep doing is just saying it, saying it, saying it, saying it. And one day, maybe God will just show it to you.
There you go.
One day, maybe.
That's right.
You see, the gospel is not a mere tool to disseminate information about Christ. Look at it. Read the rest of that chapter 3. This is the glory of Solomon. Silver. Gold. Ye daughters of Zion. See him. Look at his bed. There's rest. There's union there. Look at it. See it. Hear about it. But the gospel is not a mere tool to disseminate information about Christ. Most people think, well, this poor old man is just academically ignorant of Christ. And all you have to really do is kind of inform him about Christ and then encourage him with little tools and emotional tricks. And then he'll make the right decision and believe on Jesus. Now, isn't that what is mostly being taught all around this country?
Oh, yeah. You're right.
No, because man has a problem. He's blinded by the devil to the very gospel that he needs.
Amen. Yeah.
That's right. He's blinded by the devil to the very gospel he needs to hear.
That's what it says.
The gospel ministry, preaching Christ, is a glorious, life-giving thing.
Yes, sir.
But men are dead.
Exactly.
And that gospel itself don't give you life.
That's right.
But now, I will say something here. There are those who believe regeneration happens through a work of the Spirit and the gospel together. There are those who believe it happens through a work of the Spirit only. And then the gospel converts. I stand on the second camp. The Spirit regenerates and the gospel converts. But let me tell you something. I have seen people who hold to Spirit regeneration and then become very lax when it comes to gospel conversion.
You're right.
Yeah.
There you go.
And regeneration is not an end in itself.
Amen.
You're not regenerated just so you can be regenerated. Paul said, he showed us mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration. What's that word you used talking about, Joe? And renewing of the Holy Ghost. God does that through the gospel. And if He regenerates you, He's regenerating you so that you can really see the gospel.
Exactly.
That passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where it said, if our gospel be hid, and it is hid to them that are lost, not to them that are reprobate, to them that are lost, and even the elect were born how? In what state? Lost.
Amen.
And Satan had blinded even our eyes to the gospel. But what happens? God comes and shines in the heart. God does this work.
Yes,
but
sir.
For what reason? That He might give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And the only place you will see that's in the gospel.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's right.
So God shines in the heart for a reason, Joe,
yes,
to open up this book to men and women's hearts, minds, and souls. Yeah. That they'll be. So, in other words, what does it say? God opened Lydia's heart.
That's right.
Woohoo! Yeah. Lydia's on her way to glory. Just go on back to selling purple. Everything's fine. Not what it says. God opened Lydia's heart for what reason? So that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul.
Amen.
By Paul. He didn't say, now, whoever of you has got your heart open now, here's your Bible, go read that. No, he said, I got a message for you. I'm talking about a man here. And here he is. Whoever's hearts God opens, they're going to say, I believe that.
Amen.
I hold to that. I love that. They'll even invite you into their home. That's what she did, didn't she?
She did. That's right.
She said, so that's this great, Paul. I'm going on back to my way. You go on back to your way. She said, no, you come on to my house.
That's right.
Huh? Yeah. That's what you call loving it.
Exactly.
That's what you call it being real in your heart, mind, and soul. You see, the fact that God Almighty does the regenerating lets me know this. I don't need to worry about regenerating.
Yeah.
You think you can prove somebody the truth about regeneration and regenerate them into the kingdom of God? No, we sit around and argue about that with men and women, though. And even argue about that amongst our brothers.
You're right.
Listen to a message they preach and look to see if we can find them saying something wrong between about regeneration and conversion. Let me tell you something. If they're preaching Christ, that's the whole goal.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Preaching Christ. Because let me tell you, if God regenerates 100, it's of no value if there ain't no Christ being preached, Joe.
There you go.
Yeah.
You think God regenerates and this goes to glory? Then you might as well go join the primitives wherever they are down here, some of them.
Yeah.
That's right. Go on. leave here now. Because that ain't what we're about here.
No.
We're about preaching Christ here. God's going to regenerate.
Yes, He is.
Then He's going to send people to those regenerated people with the gospel.
Amen.
And He may send somebody to them with the gospel before He regenerates them. That's His business. Mm-hmm. Our business is to do what? Preach the gospel.
Amen.
Preach. Our concern is with the means. Because
yeah.
we can't do nothing about that first part.
Exactly.
That's
right.
So let's quit sitting around arguing about it and this being picky. Every time I know, I've been there. Listen to a man's message, boy, and just sit there to pick it apart. We're going to say, oh, God, feed me.
Mm-hmm.
You see how callous we can become?
Yeah.
I don't like saying this and it going on tape, maybe even going on TV. I sit there with this callous mind, just picking apart every word a man says. And as I've told you before, you come up here and try this sometime and let us judge all your words.
Yeah. You're right.
Mason, it ain't easy to do. I've tried writing it all out, and it still don't work.
No.
Still don't work. You see, the problem is with man, not the gospel.
Yeah.
Just remember that.
That's right.
The problem is with man, not the gospel. Amen. Believing the gospel is no natural action. Remember 1 Timothy 3? The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Then he says, but without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. And the first thing he says is God manifest in the flesh. Explain that one.
There you go. That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Joe, I don't even have an earthly illustration I can use to try to explain that. God manifest in the flesh. But you know what the last one is?
Yeah.
Believed on in the world.
Amen.
That's a marvel that anyone ever believes this.
Yes, sir.
It's a work of grace.
Yeah.
It's a work of God's power.
Right.
That men stand and just preach Christ and you're intoxicated with it.
There you go.
Do I have the right to say that? Oh, yeah. Look at it. Look at chapter 7, verse 10. I am my beloved's and His desire is toward me. Isn't that a glorious thought? That Jesus Christ is actually thinking about me. Mac, He's up there in glory making intercession for us.
Yeah.
That's amazing, Mason. But look, come, my beloved. Let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Now he's using another illustration of the gospel ministry, right? The vineyard. And even our Lord said, I'm the branch, you're the vines. You know what he said? Now look at it. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my love. There will I give thee my loves.
Yeah.
You see it? Where? In the vineyard.
Yeah.
In the vineyard. Now look.
Yeah.
The mandrakes give a smell. I know most people preachers don't even mention. You know what a mandrake is? It's a narcotic love plant. It's an aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
Would make you do things that you may not normally do otherwise until you start drinking some of that stuff. Made out of a plant, Mason. And here those mandrakes are... What's he talking about? He ain't talking about Solomon trying to take advantage of the Shulamite.
No.
Read the comments of these people, these commentaries go stupid here. What's this talking about? God's people become intoxicated with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't get away from it.
Amen.
I had me a drink of it. And tomorrow, when I get up, I've got to have another snort.
There you go.
Now, I know people don't like using that language. That's what it's talking about.
Yeah.
I've become a drunk to the gospel.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm drunk on it. I can't get away from it.
Yeah.
I'm an alcoholic when it comes to God's Son.
Yeah.
I can't get enough of Him.
Yeah.
I'll drink Him in the morning. I'll drink Him in the evening. I'll get up in the middle of the night. And if I think about Him, I want to drink Him, Joe.
Yeah.
I want to know about Him. Have you ever been there? You see, if once you take that first drink, ain't that the way they say it happens with all alcoholism? Mason, if you ever take that first drink, you can't become an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Now can you? Well, all it takes that first drink, though. That's the way it is with the gospel. If God ever gives you a real drink, you will never get over it.
That's right.
Can't get over it. You may try to, oh, I'll go put it away. How many alcoholics try to put it away? And then you say, I fell off the wagon. I don't know why we use that phrase, but they fell off the wagon. Let me tell you something. If you fell off the wagon when it comes to Christ, get back on the wagon.
There you go.
That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Have you left the assembly? Get back to it.
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm saying. Have you become slow and slothful concerning the gospel? Oh, God, make me hungry for it again.
There you go.
I'm going to have to wind this up. There's a lot more I was going to give you, but let's just stop with this. Think about this. I want you to hear the sweet vitality of the gospel ministry. Turn to chapter 8 now. And it's all throughout. I'm just hitting some of the very obvious spots. At least obvious to me, I should say. Look at chapter 8. And I'm jumping way ahead, but look at verse 11. Time's just getting away from me. Look, Solomon had a vineyard. Did you see it? Back to that old vineyard again, right?
That's right.
At Baal Hamon. He let out the vineyard and the keepers. Now, let me tell you. What?
Yeah.
He let out the vineyard and the keepers. Everyone for the fruit thereof was to bring 1,000 pieces of silver. My vineyard, which is mine. Do you see it? It's his vineyard. He lets it out, but who still owns the vineyard?
There you go.
God does.
Amen.
My vineyard, which is mine, is before me. Thou, O Solomon, must have 1,000. He's going to get back his return from his vineyard.
Yes, sir.
You see what it's saying? Mm-hmm. O Solomon, must have 1,000, and those that kept the fruit thereof 200. What's he simply saying? It's not all for us.
That's right.
I've mentioned this before. I mentioned it to several there yesterday at Dingus. God says in His Word that my Word shall not return unto me void.
Amen.
And it will not.
It will not. Amen.
You and I may not see all the results of it, but He's seen every result of it.
Exactly.
He's getting His 4,000.
Yes, sir.
If He's pleased to give me 200, Joe, that's a great blessing.
Yes, sir.
To see anything. Yeah. If God lets me see one soul be converted, mm-hmm. Joe, I don't deserve that.
No.
Even if I've preached His gospel, Mason, it ain't something I've earned. Now look, thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it.
Yeah.
Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like to a roe or to a young hart upon the mountains of spices. In other words, O God Almighty, sustain your vineyard.
Yes, sir.
He has.
Amen.
But more than that, O God Almighty, put me in your vineyard. Because if you're outside the vineyard, you ain't going to have none of this. You'll know none of it. But more than that, O God, make me a part of that vineyard. And that it's summed up by Christ this way, as His sweet beauty, the beauty of who He is, His glories and His perfections go forth in the sound of the gospel, and His people say, make me to hearken.
Yeah.
Because Paul Pendleton, if He don't make me do it, I won't hearken.
Exactly.
Even as lovely as it is, I am so forgetful.
Yeah.
I'd abandon this place in a heartbeat if He didn't make me to hearken. Let us pray that He makes others to hearken as well.
Amen.
Praying to God is not trying to get God to do something. It's confessing to God that unless He does it, it won't get done.
Amen.
That's what praying to God is. We're not trying to aggravate God when He finally gives up. So I'm tired of hearing that. I've got to save somebody now.
Yeah.
Religion talks like that now, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they
no, it's crying out, oh God, if You don't do it, it won't get done.
Amen.
Make me to hearken. Cause me to hear. Oh, God, do so with the sweet vitality of the gospel.
Amen.
Do you feel your heart getting cold toward it? If you do and you don't fear, then you don't know it.
You're right.
But even if you think you haven't, if it's all of a sudden like Joe, you all of a sudden you wake up. He's like, whoa, I've become cold and indifferent to that. It's still the same thing. Oh, God, make me to hearken. There's nothing else you could do. You know? What we want to do is we want to run back and hold on to that profession way back yonder. Like somehow that's going to make a difference. It ain't about what you believed 10 years ago, 15 years ago. It's about who you're believing and feasting on today.
That's right.
And when you come down to die, it'll be the same way. It won't be about your past. These all did what? Died. In faith.
Amen.
Mason, I'm going to say it this way, and I know there it could be qualified. You live and be 100 years old. You get down to that last day and you reject Christ, you hate Christ, I don't care what you profess for 100 years, you'll perish.
You're right.
You'll perish.
That's true.
So you know what it's going to take to get me there, Mac? It's going to take God's grace to get me to the end.
Amen.
Isn't it not? It's going to take God's grace. David, right? God's going to have to make me hear it. Oh, God, do that. Father, forgive us of our sins. Holy, heavenly, righteous Father. And we dare even, only even ask that question, having some understanding, some enlightenment concerning the person and work of your Son. Lord, our sins being forgiven us is only because that you punished them in your Son. Oh, God, thank you for that in Christ. And meld our hearts and minds to it with that which only your grace can do. In Christ's name I ask it. Amen.